At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
We have a lot to talk about, Nick, on the NBA front of things. First off, we had the injury late last night. Steph Curry rolls his ankle. Warriors, after a really impressive showing, they spanked the Bucks by 35. They turn right around, lose to the Bulls at home, and a team that is that 10 seed right now in the West. What do you make of just how to evaluate the Warriors now going forward with no timeline really set here on Curry and that ankle injury?
Yeah, tough break for Golden State. Like you said, coming out of that huge win over Milwaukee where the Bucks just forgot how to play offense essentially for the entire third and fourth quarter of that game and let that get away from them. You know, in terms of where the Warriors are long term here, and I don't think we're looking at something where, you know, Curry's missing like multiple weeks. You know, I think this will probably be a game to game situation. You know, they play the Spurs over the weekend. They play the Spurs again, I believe, on Monday. So you have two winnable games for Golden State, even without Steph Curry. I think that's the short-term silver lining here. If you're Golden State, you just got Chris Paul back. You just got Andrew Wiggins back. You probably think you can weather that storm. But this is also a Warriors team, guys, that is trying to emerge from the play-in zone in the Western Conference. And the more time that Stephen Curry misses, the less likely that's going to become, right? I mean, they're 3.5 back right now of the Phoenix Suns, who just got a big win over Denver earlier this week. And that's going to be a really, really difficult gap to close if this ends up being something where Steph Curry misses, you know, more than 3 or 4 games. Warriors right now at DraftKings, by the way, minus 1,000 to participate in the play-in tournament.
Mm. Nikki, I want to ask you about the Celtics. Now, I know they've lost 2 in a row, but this is a team on a pace for 65 wins. Are they going to win 65 games and not reap any rewards in the individual markets? I mean, Joe Mazzulla is now down to 4-1, but he's still the third choice. I say Daniel because I'm a hockey fan, but the Oklahoma City coach is obviously minus $283 down. Chris Finch is the second choice. Mm-hmm. And Tatum's like the fourth choice for MVP. Does this team really win that many games and get shut out in the awards market?
I think so. I think so, Mike. I don't think that there is much of a case for Jason Tatum for MVP. We'll start there. And I think last night is one of those chances he had to really assert himself into that mix, right? He's been kind of hanging around the 17-25-1 range for MVP for most of the season. And he doesn't have the same level of counting stats as someone like Jokic or Doncic or even SGA or Giannis. So the number one card in favor of Jason Tatum is that, hey, I'm on the team that might win 65 games. You know, that's the card I could play that nobody else has. None of these other teams are probably even going to get to 60 wins on the season, but you got to have your MVP moment at some point, right? We talk about that a lot in the NFL throughout the season. You have to have that moment where it feels like you take control of the MVP race. And I think last night might've been Tatum's last big chance to do that. And, you know, not only did Jokic vastly outplay him, not only did the Celtics not win that game, but Tatum himself kind of felt like the reason why, right? You get 42 out of Jaylen Brown, a guy who was questionable coming into the night. You got some great minutes out of Kristaps Porzingis, and it was Jason Tatum, you know, missing a wide open three late in that game and just not playing well for 4 quarters. And I think that's kind of the reason that Boston, you know, ended up losing both games to Denver during the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, obviously Boston's still the favorite to win the title. I'm not sure that I would pick them over Denver right now. I think they have the easier path, but I don't think they're going to get any individual regular season awards. I don't think there's a whole lot of upswell for like, man, Joe Mazzulla, what a great coaching job this has been. I think it's more like they just have so much talent at the top and nobody else can really match that in the East.
He is Nick Whalen joining us right now here on the Lombardi Line. You hear him on SiriusXM NBA, SiriusXM Fantasy as well, talking a little NBA for us. And Nikola Jokic in that MVP market, it was minus 130 about a week ago, and now he's minus 170 at DK. It's really only Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic who are 7.5 to 1 or short at this point. As much as last night probably ended any chance Tatum had to win MVP, did you at the same time, Nick, feel like that performance from Jokic pretty much sealed up the award, or is there still a chance here where you could see an SGA or a Doncic get back into the mix here?
Yeah, I don't think it's completely wrapped up. You know, we have enough time, roughly 20 games here, where something could happen. And obviously an injury would be the number one thing that would open this back up for SGA or Luka. But, you know, prior to last night, Dallas had fallen into a rut. They were the worst defense by far in the NBA since the All-Star break. So I think Luka has lost a little bit of steam, even if the counting stats have still been there night to night. And I've told you, Ben, I've never really been on the SGA MVP train. I don't know what box he checks that Jokic doesn't, right? Especially now that the Nuggets have closed that gap in the Western Conference. I think a month or two ago when it felt like Denver was kind of going 80%, not really pushing every single night, Jokic's numbers were a little bit down relative to last season, which of course is a crazy standard. But now that the Nuggets are sitting in third place in the West and they're a half game behind OKC, I'm not really sure what the case is for SGA, because Jokic is going to win all the advanced numbers. I think everybody agrees he's the best player in the NBA. And, you know, the one trump card that SGA perhaps had early in the season was, well, his team is 5 or 6 games better. They might be the 1 seed in the West, and Denver might be the 4 or the 5 seed. You know, now Denver is favored to be the 1 seed in the Western Conference. That flipped last night over on DraftKings. They are now the favorites to get the 1. So if OKC doesn't win the West, I just don't know what the case is for SGA. So long-winded way of saying, guys, if Jokic stays healthy, I think he's cruising to another MVP.
I want to go back to the comment you made, Nick, about Denver and Boston, and you wouldn't necessarily bet the Celtics over the Nuggets to win it, although you think their path is easier. I think that it's closer than people might suspect, because I think there could be some pesky teams in the East. I still think New York could be a pesky playoff opponent. I'm counting Milwaukee out. I just, Doc and their consistency is... I think
not great.
I think Cleveland's an up and coming team. I just think there could be some landmines for them. And in the West, who's proven anything in a playoff scenario that they would? I just think Denver's going to fall in with a bunch of teams. And this NBA is a stepladder where you got to advance each year a little bit further. I mean, are you afraid of Paul George hitting a big shot in a game 7? I actually think the path for Denver in the West is easier than might be the common thought.
I think it depends how you feel about some of the depth teams in the West relative to the East, because Boston's getting the 1 seed in the East, and you know they could play any of, you know, a banged up Philly team, Indy, Chicago, Atlanta in round one. That's going to be a cakewalk series for them no matter what, I suppose, unless Joel Embiid comes back. But that's also somebody who's always played significantly worse in the playoffs. So he's kind of in that James Harden basket in some ways. I think where people look at Denver and say, all right, they might have a tough first round series, right? I mean, you could be facing Dallas, you could be facing Sacramento, could be the Warriors, could be the Lakers. Denver's going to be favored to win that series. I wouldn't pick Denver to lose it, but I think the accumulation of 3 rounds through the West is ultimately going to be tougher than what Boston has to face, especially if you don't think Milwaukee's a contender, because that's really the one team I think where you say, all right, if Milwaukee is at their absolute best, it's conceivable that they could have the 2 best players in a series against Boston. You know, Giannis and Lillard could be those 2 best players, but I'm with you, Mike. As much as I don't want to write this Bucks team off, I think they made a huge mistake not going out and getting a wing defender at the trade deadline. Not that there is, you know, a ton of great options out there, but bringing in Danilo Gallinari, is that what this team needs? Anybody who's watched the Bucks all year, I don't think you need like 37-year-old Danilo Gallinari. You need an upgrade in the Pat Connaughton spot, in the Jay Crowder spot. You know, 2 guys who have not played well for them this season. And without that, I don't really know if the Bucks are a legit contender. So I'm with you. The Knicks could be scrappy. The Heat are scary. But I think Boston has proven already this season that they're not going to have a whole lot of trouble getting through the East. They match up with Denver in the finals. I don't think that's a team they want to face, even though, you know, both of those losses this season have been by a combined 8 points.
Classic Doc Rivers signing, getting Gallinari into the fold. Had to do it, Nick. Final 45 seconds before we let you go. LeBron and AD both questionable tonight for the Lakers, so it's a big move toward the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. What do you make of the spot now for Milwaukee after getting blasted by Golden State? You're laying 2.5 on the road.
This should be a pretty decent spot for Milwaukee. I still think this is a team that's turned a corner since the break. Obviously, we don't trust the Lakers, and I expect LeBron to be out there. I know he tweaked the ankle the other night. You know, Anthony Davis is questionable every single night, and I think we'll see a better version of Giannis. You know, if you watch that game against Golden State, I was actually hoping he didn't play, you know, coming off of the Achilles issue early in the week, and he just didn't quite look like himself. He was getting swatted by, like, 6'7" Trayce Jackson-Davis three times over the course of, like, 5 minutes. So I like Milwaukee tonight, and if you're looking for a prop for this game, bounce back spot for Malik Beasley. He's 2 of 20 from three over his last three games. He's going to keep firing away. It's part of the Bucks offense. I like his over 2.5 3.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.